Welcome to the Simple Plate here on 103.3 KUMD. This morning we're talking about another great new business, comparatively new, I guess, here in our community. But of course, the big news is that Duluth Cider has a place for you to park your apples. If you have enough of your apples to enjoy, to share with your neighbors, to share with the squirrels and the deer over the winter, and you still have some left over, Duluth Cider's got some suggestions for you. Christian Frazier is the production manager. He joins us this morning as our guest. Hey, Christian, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
So, Apple Bash. That sounds like, I'm picturing, what was the name of that guy with the sledgehammer who used to smack fruit?
Gallagher.
There we go. Right? Yes, that's it, of course. I'm kind of thinking a Gallagher-like thing, but I'm guessing you guys will be a little more sophisticated.
Just a little bit more sophisticated. It's, I would say, almost as much fun as smashing watermelons with a sledgehammer. It's, yeah, it's a ton of fun. We press the apples all day on October 9th at our Big Bad Apple Bash, and we end up making some pretty cool cider out of it.
Fantastic.
The last 2 years, we've had some phenomenal kind of blends, I guess, of apples from around town.
So tell us a little, have you done any research at all? Do you know what kinds of apples folks are growing in our community for the most part? I have an apple tree in my yard that I bought from Deb Schubat years ago. I don't have a clue anymore what it's called. The tag is long missing.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And we do a little bit of work with the UMD Orchard, and I've kind of asked around some of the managers up there. And I think for the most part, there are a lot of kind of older American heirloom apples, a lot of crab apples, a lot of Dolgo crab apples, and some chestnut crabs. I think there's some Cortlands floating around town. But yeah, it's actually a lot of these trees in town are incredibly old. Some of them were planted by the Congdons, kind of over in the Glen Sheen area, and they've been around for, oh geez, now like 70 years or more. And then there's a few trees around town that are easily pushing 100 years, and I have no idea what they are. Possibly some Gravenstein, but it's kind of hard to tell sometimes by looking at them, but they sure do taste good.
Can you, and now we're taking what they call a deep dive, but I mean, I suppose that you would be able to take like a little snip of a branch or an apple or a something and send it somewhere and they could do a DNA on it.
Yes. I actually think it's been a little while since I've attended UMD, but back when I was there, I believe there was a lab doing just that. So they were taking little snippets of leaf and then running, some genealogy on the trees themselves and kind of figuring out where they came from, you know, what they are, what they're related to. And I would love to get, you know, my hands on that study. But for the most part, what I've heard is, yeah, a lot of just really, really kind of older species of apples, some from like some Russian varieties. I think we've got a few of those around town. So
that is so cool.
Yeah, it's a ton of fun. I mean, it's, you know, pretty much history in a glass, actually.
Now,
it's rad.
I'm wondering, obviously, if you're going to create a special cider, you need to know exactly what you're dealing with, and you need to craft just the perfect blend, I would imagine, of tart and sweet and this, that, and the next thing. So when you put out a call for, hey, bring us your apples, and you have no clue what kind of apples you're going to get, some are sweet, some are tart, some are weird, you have no idea, how do you go about taking that special contribution from our community and making it into something fabulous?
Right. That's kind of the trick. And with this blend, actually, we don't, you know, we kind of throw out any apples that are, you know, potentially bad or, you know, rotted or bug-eaten or anything like that. But if you bring your apples to us, they will go into the blend. It's the bash blend. It we kind of take everything that people bring. We'll select some of the like some of the crab apples and things like that, which actually make just a phenomenal cider. And we'll kind of, you know, blend those in a little bit more carefully, just because they do have a really high like acid and
tannin
contribution.
Oh, and they're so good.
But they are, I mean, crab apples, honestly, in my, you know, humble opinion, they make some of the best hard cider out there. But yeah, for the bash blend, when we're pressing, we just press them all. And it, the last 2 years we've done this, it's yielded some really, really good cider. It's pretty tart. It's definitely a sipper. But we've got, I think at this point, a little over 300 bottles of the 2020 blend hanging out in the cellar. And I just sampled a bottle last week. And the aroma, everything, I mean, it smelled like kind of like baked apple pie, I would say.
Oh, nice.
Really, really nice kind of body with a lot of nice tannin. And then it really hit you with some nice, like, really fairly well-rounded acidity. You know, it was pretty tart, but it was quite refreshing. So
I'm curious about how that cider would work in baking. I mean, if you put a little splash in with an apple pie, or even, you know, if you experimented with some other fruits, how that would work.
I've heard of people using our cider with, baking or doing like roasts and things like that.
Oh, nice.
I'm sure it would be awesome. One of our bartenders actually uses our cider for a few different recipes and things like that. And she's a pretty big fan. I haven't tried it personally, but I could imagine that would be awesome.
So I know when I make apple butter, I core the apples and then I throw them in boiling water and I boil them and then I run them through a sieve. And so I can be, you know, the skins and any other seeds or any other, you know, errant leaves or whatever I didn't catch are all sieved out. I'm really curious about the actual process. And do people get a chance to watch? You know, I show up and I've got a grocery bag of apples and I go, here are my apples. And can you talk us through what do you do with them?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I could talk about this all day. So it's, you know, honestly, one of my favorite events of the year in town. And yeah, so we take the apples, we'll inspect them visually and just kind of make sure that they're okay. You know, we go through a questionnaire to make sure they're not windfall or anything like that, or there's been no chemicals or pesticides or anything used on them, that folks know of that, we can't wash off. So after the apples get a visual inspection, we will wash them in some fresh water. Then we'll wash them in a really, really light, it's pretty much like a vegetable wash. And then they'll get rinsed again with some water. And then, they get basically, if they're really big apples, we'll cut them in half and throw them in a grinder. If they're not super duper big, we'll just toss them right in the grinder. We've got a hand grinder on site. We've also got a horse and a half power electric grinder. And they get ground up into this apple pomace.
Pumice.
Yep.
Oh, that's a great expression. I like that. Okay.
I think the technical term for ground up apples. And then once they're all ground, they get put in the press, and that press gets, kind of hand cranked. We do have a larger hydraulic press on site now too, which is pretty nice. And then, we press the juice right then and there. We'll put it into a few different containers, but where they all end up is we've got a 500-liter variable volume fermentation tank. So depending on how much juice juice we get. We've gotten anything from 60 gallons, I think just about the first year we did it. And then the second year, 2020, we ended up with 120 gallons. So it was pretty awesome to see. And then it'll ferment on site for just about under a month. And then it goes right into the cellar. And I think this year it will actually go into some barrels. And we're going to do a little bit of barrel aging.
So. Ooh, neat. So if folks, at the apple bash, the apples get bashed, obviously, we've got this. But people who want to actually drink either the cider, the plain old cider right there, they could maybe get some. But otherwise, you've got to wait a little bit for the hard cider. So I'm sure you've got something you're going to give people for refreshment while they're there.
We are. So, yep, the bash blend itself will take, we'll release that 2022. But on site, we're going to have a few different blends of some of our, favorite ciders. We're also going to have some new recipes being released. Can't quite give those away.
Okay.
Yet, but
can you hint? Can you make an obscure hint?
yes. Staghorn.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna write that down. So, it's not Rosebud. It's Staghorn. All right. That's good. I got it.
As well as a few others. We'll be, kind of having a great time there. There'll be live music, food trucks and things, those special release ciders, as well as, our other ciders that we have on tap. And if you bring in, roughly a 5-gallon buckets equivalent of apples, you get a free pint.
So nice.
Not a terrible deal. You can get some instant gratification there with your apples right then and there. So
what if you're me or you're five and you say, I want to drink some of the apple cider that you just pressed? Now, if you let too many people do that, you won't have any left to make this hard cider with. But do you ever make that available for folks? I'm just curious. I think that'd be fascinating. What does that taste like?
So that is actually something we're looking into right now. And it's something that we obviously need to talk to the health department about.
Sure.
It's actually kind of interesting since it's not fermented. It's kind of a different regulation. With the fermentation process comes a lot of microbial stability, as well as, generally in a fermented beverage, a lot of these spoilage organisms that could do us ill don't actually survive, which is why people have been fermenting stuff for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years.
Which is going to give everybody the opportunity to run around saying, I have to drink this. It's safer.
It is safer, yeah. But the raw cider is something we've really wanted to do for quite a while, to give kind of everyone an opportunity to give, it a try and to taste what we're, not only for the bash, but what we... what we ferment on site, the juice that we use is a pretty awesome blend of apples and tastes absolutely delicious before fermentation. So,
they talk about how, if you eat a vegetable out of the garden, it's a completely different thing than if you, defrost a frozen vegetable or dump one out of a can. And it would be, for folks that maybe grew up drinking apple juice in the morning, it's like, well, why don't you give this a try and see what you think of this? I bet it's really an experience.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Absolutely. There's nothing quite like it. It's like kind of early fall in a glass, really. This is my favorite time of year. And that's kind of one of those parts of it where it's just like, oh my gosh, I cannot wait for some, a little bit of fresh pressed apple juice. And
folks can make your day because they can start dropping off apples anytime now. And you can drop off apples actually right up until October 9th. If folks go to your webpage, I know you've got a bunch of information on your webpage about the event that's coming up. But if folks go to your webpage, is there also a way that they can double check, what you're looking for in terms of, You got to make sure that your apples are this, but not that.
Yes. Yep, absolutely. So if you go to our website, it's just duluthcider.com. You'll see a tab at the top that says Apple Drop-Off. And then it'll give a little description about what we're doing with the apples. And then right there on the page, there'll be an apple drop-off form. And so you can fill it all out with your information. You can put the type of apple if you know it and, you know, the approximate amount. If any, pesticides or fertilizers have been used on the apple tree. And then
no wormholes, no obvious damage, no windfalls, that kind of thing. Leave that stuff there for the deer and the squirrels. If you want to know what fun is, it's watching a squirrel try to eat a frozen apple right off the tree. Yeah. I got to tell you, it's super. And it's like, and they're so proud of them. So, and it's like, oh, my gosh, I bet that tastes so good.
Oh, yeah.
And yep, they're just kind of thrilled when it happens.
Squirrel.
So you yep. bet. Well, Christian, thank you so very much this morning for joining us. What a treat to have you along with us this morning. The Big Apple Bash, the third annual, is October 9th. We'll get, as we mentioned, some links set up on our website so you can get the information you need if you want to drop some apples off. Christian, thanks again for being our guest this morning.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This was awesome.
Christian Frazier is the production manager with Duluth Cider and our guest this morning on The Simple Plate. Here's Tommy Castro now on 103.3 KUMD.